Starlings, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Kara, do you have any news for us today?
Yes, I do. So we've got lots of futuristic science-y news, some of it concerning. We start our journey first in India, where a viral, literally, video showed a wild monkey snatching a vial of infected blood from COVID patients out of a researcher's hand and scampering up into a nearby tree. Since the vial was never recovered, locals are concerned the incident could increase transmissibility of COVID in the local animal population. Although there is evidence that many animals can catch COVID-19, there isn't any evidence that it can be spread by contact with blood. Still, with so much about the virus unknown, this doesn't seem like a great development. Speaking of weird science, researchers in New York have created the most human human-mouse chimera yet. The embryo they developed contains up to 4% human cells. This is part of an experiment on creating animals with transplantable human organs. The science is in its infancy, hence the mouse trials. There doesn't seem to be any evidence that this development will lead to the conquest of man by a race of intelligent mouse people, but, you know, maybe keep some cheese on hand just in case. Dozens of journalists working for Microsoft have been fired and will be replaced with automated algorithms that can find, edit, and headline various news stories for MSN users. Many are criticizing the move, skeptical that an algorithm can replace the careful work of journalists with the same accuracy and precision, but there's no doubt that robots are cheaper. Finally, SpaceX's first piloted space flight to the space station was a success a few days ago. Theoretically, this means that NASA will no longer have to rely on outdated Russian spacecraft to reach the station. Indeed, this is one of the more significant stories in manned spaceflight in decades. Back to you, Chauncey.
COVID monkeys.
COVID monkeys, yeah.
You know the horror movie fan in me loves the COVID monkey. You know, yeah. That is, the Planet of the Apes was one of my favorites.
I was going to say, Planet of the Apes. Kid,
and I see this as being, this is how these things start.
Yeah, well, hear me out. What if it wasn't just a vial of infected blood? It was a vial of infected blood treated with a high-tech, highly experimental, top-secret, you know, treatment for the disease designed to make humans smarter and more powerful.
Right.
In order to fight off the disease. And now it's going to get into the monkey population. What?
What if it was the one thing that made it immune? Now we're all going to die off, and then the monkeys are there doing it.
Yeah, the monkeys will replace us. Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
So animals in the news and experimenting on animals, you know, it's weird. You know, it's like we're just all like, hey, you know, don't put eyeshadow on a rabbit, but make it 4% human. That's cool. You know,
right.
it's a little weird. But it does, okay, so the monkey, the mouse-human chimera, which is terrifying in itself. It sounds like a sci-fi, yeah. Sci-fi channel Friday night movie, you know.
Exactly.
My dad.
Jack of the Mouse Man.
For some reason, when you have a bad heart, it can damage your kidneys. So when my dad had to get a heart transplant, he was waiting for the heart transplant. When he had to get the heart transplant, he ended up having to get another kidney, too. Mm-hmm. And so the weird thing about getting kidneys is that it's not a transplant. They just put another one in you. So he had three kidneys.
Isn't that what it... Oh, I see. So they don't take anything out. They just...
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it's still a transplant, but it's not a...
Yeah.
It's not an exchange, you know.
Right.
So when you were telling me this, I'm just all like, whoa, man, why mice? Am I going to get like a transplant of like a thing of...
Teeny kidney.
Yeah, it's going to be like a thing of grapes. I'm going to get like 1,200 mouse kidneys put in. take care of my blood.
If you can't get one big kidney,
right,
you know,
yeah.
a thousand tiny kidneys.
Well, yeah, 12,000 mouse kidneys, yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah,
12,000 mouse kidneys would be a good name for a band.
Yeah, totally. I do think it's weird, though, that, you know, just experimenting with animals, this animals, the fact that you're doing blood research around monkeys, you know, that's so foreign to me, but I understand that other countries exist. So I guess we got to say, well, at least India was testing.
Yeah, well, you know, monkeys are like squirrels in India, I think.
Yeah. It's
they're
just
everywhere.
It's so weird to me. I've really only ever been one place where there were monkeys on the side of the road, and that was going up in the mountains of Japan. There was, like, monkeys eating melons in the snow on the side of the road, and it's definitely foreign to me because...
Yeah, it is kind of a strange concept for Westerners because, I mean, they're, like, tiny people.
Yeah.
So the idea that they're just... running around and people are sharing their space with them. It's like, oh, that's someone. Like,
right, over there, they're just all, that monkey stole the blood, and we're all sitting here going, over here, we put little clothes on those things. You know, weird. It's weird.
Yeah.
All right, Microsoft firing journalists makes me believe that those journalists were not journalists in the first place, unless these algorithms can call people up and get facts. I mean, all an algorithm can do is aggregate data or aggregate words. It's not actually doing anything.
Right, yeah. Well, so here's the thing. These guys were trained journalists, but there aren't a lot of jobs for journalists anymore because of stories like this one. And so, you know, they were relegated to doing low-wage work, curating what other people had created. You know, there's a handful of journalists left in... journalists in the sense that we understand it, investigative reporters who find the facts for themselves.
Right, yeah.
There's a handful of those guys left in the world, and, you know, there's plenty of people who are still getting journalism training, but most of them are just sort of picking up the breadcrumbs that the real journalists are leaving behind.
Right.
So I think this is kind of a sad story, and, you know, I mean, it's more efficient, it's probably more cost-effective for users, but it's just like, another instance of journalism jobs disappearing, and that, like, that journalism actually does do a vital function for society. Like, they tell us what is true and what is false, and
you know,
they find that stuff out for themselves. So it's like,
you have to understand that there are two reasons why jobs go away.
Yeah.
One is that a machine is now doing it for you.
Sure.
And the other is nobody wants it anymore. And unfortunately, that's the case with these people. These people were not journalists. They were aggregators. And journalist jobs are going away because apparently nobody wants them anymore or nobody's willing to pay.
Right. Well, it's hard to monetize the truth. You know, there's nothing about the truth that is inherently monetizable. If you're more interested in money than truth, you can just lie.
And then SpaceX, I find really inspiring. I assume you do.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'm all about getting into space. You know, I mean, I
mixed feelings, actually. But.
I do, too, because regardless of people's view of socialism, capitalism, free market, and stuff like that, I don't think we're at a point in technological, military, financial anything where the free market should be outdoing NASA on space.
I think when it comes to science and exploration,
we should be funding this as a group. And so that part's a little depressing to me, but at least we're there.
Yeah, that's my feeling. I'm happy that developments are happening in manned space flight. I'm unhappy that we've had to, like, reinvent the wheel through privatization because we refuse to fund these agencies, which in the past have done amazing work.
Right. And so. And I don't know if – I think that there are certain levels of scientific understanding that should be pursued from the get-go with an idea that nobody owns this.
Yes.
You know, I'm
uncomfortable with the involvement of private – organization with for-profit organizations,
right? Yeah,
with space because
right.
I think, you know, we're still at the point in our history in space flight that we can afford to shape how humanity in space is going to be, and I think that should reflect our highest ideals. And I think I don't know, for many people, seeking money is the highest ideal, but I don't.
I don't agree
with that.
I saw Blade Runner. I saw how the Tyrell Corporation treated Roy Batty, man. This is a...
Exactly. You know, Roy Batty deserved better.
Yeah, he saw, attack ships off the shoulder of Orion.
Yeah, what were attack ships doing off the shoulder of Orion? Orion is a peaceful system.
I'm guessing Tyrell Corporation put them there, though.
Yeah, exactly. See, this is what happens. This is what happens when you trust SpaceX.
All right, well, let's talk more about space after the break, because our guest tonight is one Sir. He's been knighted. He's been on so much. William Poland. We're going to be talking about the Pentagon admission that the Navy UFO releases are real. So come back, and we'll see how we all feel about that. You're listening to Radio Waves.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane and Shasta Tanks. Because of the probability of our power being shut off during wind events or fires, many people are installing standby generators. Shasta Gas is now selling standby generators with propane tanks so that you will have home power during these outages. Give us a call at 365-3793 to get a quote on a generator and tank installation. That number again is 365-3793.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local?
It's the Little League baseball team. It's a smile and a wave from a neighbor you've known for years, helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do.
It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center, caring about the people and the community that you call home.
Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982.
We're all in it together.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, William Pullen. I'm not sure you count as a guest. You're a fellow, you're like the... like the stepchild. Yeah.
I like that role.
You're allowed to dinner, but you have to eat at the breadboard. You know, it's like.
Okay, I can do it. I can deal with that.
Slightly abusive. How are you handling this situation there in Texas? Are you guys, is there some back and forth on the opening up on the situation?
Yeah, there is. Like anything else, it goes down political lines, which is completely illogical.
Right.
That's what it is. The state slowly opening up. Greg Abbott, who's our Republican governor, is actually pretty cautious. I like his approach. He's doing it slowly. So I mean, I don't agree with his political beliefs, but the way he's doing it is slow and cautious and measured, and I think that's a good thing. So,
regardless of one's political beliefs, I like to think that most people don't want to go down in history as somebody who killed a lot of people.
You know, I agree.
So it's like, that's a great motivating factor. It's like, I don't want to be that guy, you know?
Yeah, I think most governors, you know, whether they're Republican or Democrat right now, are pretty on the ball. But there have been a couple who really haven't been, like, you know, Jack Kemp in Georgia. And so they kind of stick out, right? But I think most people are legitimately trying to protect their citizens and their state.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we can always, could be worse. We could have a, who's that guy you like so much, Cara? Bolsonaro?
God.
No.
We basically have Bolsonaro. We just also have, like, checks and balances and stuff. The reason Bolsonaro is bad is because he's in Brazil, which has much weaker institutions.
Right.
But yeah. He's basically just a Trump clone, you know. Trump.
Well, pretty much. Yep.
Speaking of governments, our topic tonight that we're talking about is basically the release of the UFO videos that we have seen most of. But before it was, the Pentagon has straight up come out and said, yes, this is us. Is that right, William?
Yes. Yeah. Before it was, the video was released a few years ago through the ATIP program. The name attached to that is Lou Elizondo. But just recently, the Pentagon officially released them. And it's been confirmed that the videos are real, which to me, to my mind, means they're simply not hoaxed. They haven't told us what's on the videos. They remain unidentified. So it's interesting. From my point of view, what's most interesting is the fact that they're released at all. Not so much what's on them or what isn't on them. The fact that they're comfortable enough actually giving us something that they admitted is unidentified is interesting in and of itself, regardless of what's actually on there.
Yeah, well, you know, before we start trying to figure out why they would release it, which is, like, probably my biggest question, can one of you two remind me what they said when they did release it? You know, what context did they put that out in? Did they just say, yeah, that's us and that's it? Or, you know, what was the context of them putting it out?
You want to take that, Kara, or should I do that?
Oh, you should do it. My memory doesn't stretch past last Tuesday. I don't know what day it is. I don't know where I am. So
mine goes barely past that point. Well, you know, the Pentagon, they confirmed that the videos are real. They're enamored with the acronym UAP, Unidentified Aerial Phenomena, which everyone seems to think is a new acronym, but that appeared in the 50s. It just wasn't embraced like the term UFO was. It's been around, but not really in society circles, not just certain people in the UFO community were aware of that acronym. But, beyond that, they really haven't said much about them other than they are unidentified aerial phenomena. That's about it.
So they just pretty much came out and verified, hey, this leaked information, yeah, that came from us. It was leaked not by us, but from us.
Yeah, agreed. Yes, that's what happened, yeah. The Pentagon themselves didn't release it. It was leaked through the ATIP program. And then the Pentagon recently re-released. Sounds like a classic metal album. It was a re-release. And then, and then under the guise that this is the stuff that we're the source of it. And we're actually officially releasing what's our content. It belongs to us, i.e. the taxpayers, but, we have no right to see it, but, but beyond that, we just don't know. I mean, they're not, it's great. It's not a hoax video. We have enough of those.
Yeah.
Going around.
Yes.
I mean, YouTube is basically a source for that, but beyond that, that's all we know. So back at square one, kind of.
It's just weird because, as you said, you know, as the taxpayers, they don't tell us, blah, blah, blah. You know, I agree with you. There's a lot of stuff that they aren't telling us. And some of that stuff may be justifiably so. You know, I don't know. I'm not in the business of fighting and killing, you know. So maybe there is some reasoning behind some of it. I don't know. But it prompts the question of why would they fess up to this one? You know, because the immediate thought is like, oh, people are panicking over the videos. So we need to fess up so that people stop panicking. But I mean, to fess up and say, yeah, that's what you think it is. Good luck. You know, it's like,
yeah.
What possibly could be the motivation behind that? And this one, I'm not necessarily throwing directly at you, William. This is kind of a roundtable question because it's totally speculative, but I don't know. What do we think the motivations are behind that? I'll start with you, William, but Kara, I'm going to want to know what you think it is next.
I've discussed it at length. It was about a few months after the initial leak happened. And we really didn't know who specifically released them. We found out it was a leak, and later on, now the Pentagon released it. But I spoke with a few researchers about it, friends that I hold in high regard, and they were wondering if an event transpired. Something happened that the public is not privy to, is unaware of, that would have precipitated a change in the way they do things. That's a possibility. I mean, certainly. But beyond that, the content of the videos to me is not really groundbreaking. They're still unidentified. Right. And of course, likely they are either military apparatus or something along those lines. The likelihood of them being actually alien constructs is low, like everything else in this field. But it's a possibility. But the why is usually not asked. And I tend to think something precipitated a change, which may not mean it was an event. Another way to look at it is this, the government slash military really doesn't do anything to release stuff to the public unless it's advantageous for them to do so.
Yes.
Unless there's something to be gained. Yeah, especially if you're in the government. And politicians don't do anything if they have to pay a price. Right. They only make moves if it's something to be gained from them on a personal level or political level. So, but the why question is interesting, and I think it's not been asked enough. So,
I see.
What do you think?
Yeah, I wonder if maybe the cause of this isn't that the military is being less rational than we assume. Like, I think we always think of the military as very sober-minded, very, you know, transactional, very results-oriented, and I think they are. But the military, as an institution, also has a history of monkeying about with some pretty strange ideas, you know, remote viewing, but they try a lot of stuff, right? And they, a lot of times, especially when it comes to like PSYOP stuff, they're sort of throwing ideas at the wall and seeing what sticks. So my thought seeing this was maybe this is part of some complicated scheme to manipulate the public or foreign governments that is actually probably too complicated to actually work, but it sounded good in a boardroom. Like, you know, maybe the government is trying something and it doesn't make sense to us because it's actually not a good idea.
Right.
But they're doing it anyway because that's kind of what they do.
Yeah, putting the two of what you guys are saying together, I hadn't really thought of what William said. And putting it together with what you say, it actually kind of seems like potentially the same thing. And that is that, like, some sort of event occurred and they jumped the gun trying to get out in front of it.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Don't be left watching Netflix reruns this summer. Use your screen time to future-proof your career with a degree or certificate from Shasta College. One of the best investments you can make is your education. So take the first step today. Summer classes start June 8th and enrollment is happening now. High school students, summer is the perfect time to pick up some college credits. With no tuition costs and enrollment is now completely online. Call 242-7500 or go online to shastacollege.edu/apply.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
The UFO topic in general suffers from a lack of credibility.
Right.
It's viewed as a pseudoscience. You have an image of this tinfoil hat pseudoscientist walking around dressed as an alien investigating UFOs. It's not respected by the fellow scientists. And I get that, and that's our own fault, the way researchers conduct themselves and the general and the UFO community in general. And that term may not really be applicable here, but and the other thing that's interesting is that the public is easily misled. We're inundated with data. We're inundated with links and stories from all these sources, a lot of which is just fake misinformation or disinformation. But people are easily distracted. So this could be just window dressing to get our eye off the ball. Because I know a lot of researchers in this field are focused on this problem, and it gets our eye off the actual target, which is what are these things? What's in our skies? Are they extraterrestrial? Are they not? What's the explanation? And all this window dressing kind of, we lose our focus as a result of it. So I rarely discuss this on my blog page or my group, if at all, because it kind of distracts to a point. It should be addressed, certainly, but it's like trying to find out who kidnapped a young woman, but trying to figure out what he's wearing. Mm-hmm. It's not really pertinent to the case. It can distract you, And this is kind of it. We have these videos. We want to know why. These are all important issues, but it kind of can distract us from the idea of, or the concept of, okay, you know, where the videos came from is interesting. These questions need to be asked. But the most important one is, what's on the video? What is that flying in the sky that our own pilots couldn't identify?
Right.
So that happens too, so.
Right. And, you know, I assume that you've put a little more, well, starting from what you were saying, understanding data, you know, I mean, you follow UFO and extraterrestrial data. We all follow different types of data. With my job, I follow data, but, you know, I don't know. This is just part of my frustration with the world and our government on the whole, and it's not a right or a left argument. It's that, it's that I don't mentally have time to figure out the economy and figure out race relations in this country and figure out what UFOs are and stuff like that. We elect people, and, you know, part of my problem is here we're in this COVID thing. All right, I'm going to go off about something. Totally off topic. Sorry. This is my most frustrating thing about this COVID thing that nobody's paying attention to, but I do think it kind of applies to the way the government deals with these things. And that is, here we have our president, and we can blame Trump all we want, but Trump isn't the first problem to ever be in the government. And they're basically saying, oh, well, states need to take care of this, and we need to take care of that, and we're here for backup, but, you know, we're not providing testing. We're not going to do this, that, and the other thing. I personally am a small business owner, and last year, living in California, I paid $200 in taxes to the state of California and $8,000 to the federal government. So basically, the federal government is taking my $8,000. The state is getting my $200. And the government is basically saying, oh, yeah, you states figure it out. I mean, if that's the case, shouldn't my $8,000 go to my state?
Yes.
Are you gonna join the California separatists and stuff and start demanding that we?
I'm an Oregonian now, but
okay. We can just the whole West Coast can just
right. But I mean, if it's up to my state to figure all this stuff out, shouldn't that be where my resources go? And so this is where a big disconnect in the government is. And I think kind of with what Kara was saying about the motivations, and that is ultimately, you know, there's just kind of. Maybe there's just too many chefs in the kitchen.
True.
You know, and that's why these things are getting let out, because one chef is letting it go, the other isn't. They're, you know, but of course, that's the problem with government. If you only have one chef in the kitchen, you don't have a democracy.
Well, I mean, recent events the last couple of decades have shown that governmental agencies don't communicate with each other. There's a discourse there. There's actually competition between them, which is preposterous. When you want to keep a secret, at least in the military, you compartmentalize it. So no one person knows all the details. You have two individuals working in separate rooms, and neither one knows what the other is working on. So what the result of that is that no one whistleblower can come forward and blow the whole game up. They can't. Right. But it also results in the idea that one individual might work on their own and release something which is enough to pique our interest, but doesn't portray the entire picture. And that's a possibility here. I mean, maybe one person decided to release these videos who works at the Pentagon, but did not consult with or discuss this move with anyone else who may have, or maybe privy to other information too. I mean, the government is very inefficient, especially the higher up you go. Once you get past the states, because even with this issue, the governors of the states are doing a far better job than the federal government. Yet somehow most of our money goes to the feds. That makes no sense. But the higher you go generally in government or any organization at times, it becomes more and more troublesome and less efficient. In the Oval Field, my mind immediately goes to Groupon. The local chapters do some great work, but the higher up in the organization you go, the less efficient it is and the more problems pop up that aren't addressed. So it kind of goes along with your thoughts about your money going where it's not being used for you. I mean, you know, they're asking the states to help you, but your resources aren't going there.
Right. You know, and I think a lot of businesses in general and the government, you know, to some degree runs like a business, although you know, a lot of people here, especially over the last 6 years, have had the attitude that a government should be run more like a business. And I say no, because, you know, bottom line for business is profit, and that shouldn't be nowhere near the purpose of a government. But, you know, but a lot of businesses have that problem, that once you hit the 50,000 foot view, you know, that's why everybody hates their boss, because they don't understand. You know, everybody gets mad and they're just all, oh, my boss doesn't understand what I'm doing. So you get lost. Another thing that, that we were going to talk about that before I went off on my frustration with the world is, you know, how much information are we really able to glean from these videos? I don't know anything about aviation, anything more than a, you know, a couple of G.I. Joe toys when I was a kid, you know. So when I'm looking at those videos, there's obviously like lines and sights on the video to help us understand how large it is, how fast it's going, stuff like that. I assume that's what those lines are for. You know, how much information did we really pull from this? Do we know how big they were? Do we know how fast they were going? I mean, is it possible that it really was just sort of a misdiagnosed drone?
I did my broadcast today's Friday, 2 days ago. There was my Kara Kittrick memory for me. 2 days ago, I had a broadcast, and I had a researcher come on, and he confirmed what I think, and they're not drones, which does not mean they're alien. They're simply not drones, right? Because drones generally don't exhibit flight characteristics that are above and beyond the capabilities of manned aircraft. In other words, you wouldn't accept a drone to be able to keep up with, say, an F-16. That'd be unreasonable.
Right. Well, that's what I'm getting at. When we look at it, my understanding is so limited that I don't look at it and automatically go, oh, yeah, that's something an aircraft could never do. You know, yeah. I just see something flying by and they're sort of tracking it and following it and saying, yo, whoa, what is that? It's going fast. But, yeah. You know, have we analyzed that to the point where we can say, yeah, that thing is going fast and that thing should not be able to do that?
Researchers that, and some of which are not in this field, really, more highly qualified than I am, have made the determination that, yeah, this thing was displaying characteristics that were above and beyond what we can attain now, which still might suggest secret apparatus, military apparatus. We all know that things have been developed and aren't known to the public for decades after that, so after they become operational. So there's data on the video game that can be analyzed, and I'm not privy to looking at that kind of stuff. But from the standpoint of the way the pilots were vocalizing their emotions, the way they were reacting, when you listen to the audio in some of these videos, these pilots who are highly trained military personnel were reacting like they were seeing something that they had never seen before. They were thrown away. They were blown away by the speed and the maneuverability of what they were witnessing, which to some people will immediately go to alien. They immediately make that jump. Right. And could it be that? Certainly it could be. Likely, probably not. I mean, but it makes more sense from a researcher standpoint to embrace and investigate the more likely explanation before you get to the exotic, which means military apparatus, misidentification, something terrestrial in nature other than something from, you know, 44 light years away.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
The field's covered in a better way by journalists, by quality journalists. That's only a good thing. As opposed to the way it used to be covered, where it appeared on the news in a very tongue-in-cheek way with X-Files teams covering the story and it's not taken seriously. Right. Well, that's not going to move the field forward. That's not any help at all. But if you do have the New York Times or other reputable journalistic establishments covering this topic in a serious way, that's only a good thing. And so I guess I'm kind of trying to explain what I just said, because I'll probably get some emails tonight.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, journalists, quality journalists, I can't help but to think of Linda Moulton Howell, who started out as a reputable journalist and who eventually went to all entirely fringe news. Yeah. And I wonder if she did it because she had to or because she was compelled to, you know, if her interest in that sort of made any other news reporting not an option for her, or how that worked, you know?
I'm very troubled with her approach. I'm not comfortable at all. You're right. She went from being a reputable journalist with a high level of integrity that was held in high regard by a lot of other journalists. That's not the case now. She's embraced a lot of fringe topics, a lot of indefensible theories that can't be proven or disproven, a lot of ideas that aren't based in data but based in belief. And we all have our own beliefs, and that's a non-starter. That's a given. But on some level, when you're examining an issue that's unknown, whether it's UFOs or anything else, at some level you have to put your personal beliefs aside and tell yourself, ask yourself, what can we prove? What do we know? Do we have any data to even support my personal beliefs? If we don't, that's a question that needs to be addressed. But when you have a journalist or anybody else making claims that aren't supported by data in any way, shape, or form, that's not good. That is not an ideal situation at all.
Yeah. I don't really know I don't know much about this person, but I think being a journalist or a scientist or whatever can be a really thankless job, and I think it's unsurprising that some people decide to cash out on their reputations by telling people what they want to hear, but it's from a scientist or a journalist or whatever. You know, take the lady who did the plandemic video.
Mm-hmm.
No. She has scientific training, you know. She should be very qualified in the field, but also, she was disgraced in the scientific field and is now making fringe stuff because that's how she gets her money now.
You know, and the other thing that happens is that if you make false claims that aren't supported by data in the scientific community, and those claims are proven false, and your lack of data is shown to be, that situation is exposed, you were expelled from the UFO community, scientific community.
Right, your career ending.
Your lack of integrity is, you're held accountable for that. In the UFO field, that never happens. Never.
Right.
You can make random claims that are not supported by data at all, and you become popular. What I found in this field, and then this is just from personal experience, is that if you get pushback, negative pushback, for not embracing everything, for being a little more dogmatic about finding out, okay, what's really going on, not embracing everything, that tends to mean that person has a level of integrity and they're not simply embracing everything. You know, I find it gratifying when I get negative emails. That means I'm doing my job. That means I'm making people think.
Right.
And if I embrace everything, well, that doesn't do it any good. So I just won't do that.
You know, this whole conversation has reminded me of another part of this world that enrages me. and that is the world of dwindling vocabulary. I listen to a lot of talk radio, and a lot of it's conservative talk radio, and I'm listening to Mark. And Mark Levin is,
I think I found your problem.
He's sitting there crapping on Chuck Todd. And he's talking about how Chuck Todd's not a journalist and blah, blah, blah. He's doing this, that, and the other thing, and he's no journalist. You know how he talks. And I'm thinking to myself, Chuck Todd's show is called Meet the Press, where the press comes in and talks about their opinions. I mean, that's what the show is. It's not really journalism. It's not really news.
No.
And then you have Mark Levin, who's sitting there just talking about his opinion the whole time. And that's not really news. And we have a bunch of people who both think that they're news, crapping on the other one.
Neither of them are news.
When neither of them are news.
Yeah.
They're pundits. They're not journalists.
Right. And
journalists are a dying breed. You can find some working for the major newspapers. That's kind of where they are now.
Right. And so it's hard to support something that one doesn't even know the term to apply to them. You know, that we're all sitting here and we're throwing this word scientist and when I say we, I mean society. We're throwing this word scientist at people who aren't, journalist at people who aren't, journalist at people who are, opinions where they're not. You know, it's like everything is just so incredibly confusing, and nobody's really getting anywhere. And I guess that's the end of my rant. It's very frustrating.
Yes, it is. And add that to the fact that people embrace everything. They don't bother to check for another source. They see a link on the internet. They see a story from some source, and they don't bother to look if there's another source. They don't check to see if the information is valid.
Yeah.
And if we don't do that, and we accept invalid content as real, then fake becomes truth. And we see that in the political realm all the time, and now that's bled into the UFO field, where people think that Alexander the Great saw UFO when he was conquering Persia. Hmm. No, he didn't. That came out in a 1950s novel. That's fiction. People think that Eisenhower signed a treaty with the aliens in the 50s. There's not one iota of evidence to prove that at all. It's a story. Hoax cases that have been proven to be hoaxed on multiple occasions by different researchers that have nothing to do with each other. Somehow these cases have a life of their own. They're legends. They're embraced. Well, if we're going to embrace the invalid, well, no wonder we're laughed at as a field.
Yeah.
The outside world.
Kara brings on every couple of months, brings on a story about David Mead talking about the end of the world, and like, and it always like perplexes
to
us.
To be fair, that guy doesn't even pretend to be a scientist.
No, but the question is, you know, how many times do you get to cry wolf until people are just going to be like, whatever, guy. You
know, this is a guy who's predicted that the world's going to end, you know, a couple of months from now on some specific date, every few months for like 5 years.
Right.
So. And he still gets media coverage.
Right.
Sure.
At this point, I think people are just like, it's funny that he's doing it, but it's kind of sad, too, because, like, there are people who still believe him somehow.
Right. Well, we're at this toss-up between the need of sensationalism to get a message out and the boringness of reality, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, we're coming up on the end. Oh, I'm sorry. Were you about to say something, William?
No, in the UFO field, you know, you keep hearing this is the year of disclosure. I've heard that every year since like 1984.
Oh, yeah.
But people keep buying it. They keep buying tickets to conferences hoping this will happen. It never does. So, same thing. Cry wolf. But in this field, you keep crying wolf and they keep buying it.
Right. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're coming up on the end here. I did want to say that I hope you had a nice birthday. I caught some of it on the Facebook of your responsible small gathering social distancing birthday.
Yes, six feet apart. And we each had our own cooler, so we enjoyed ourselves. A little bit of early 70s metal with
nice.
It seemed to be quite a Judas Priest marathon.
It was. We did the first six albums, and pretty good,
That's commitment, man. That's commitment.
Yeah.
All right, William. Well, it's great to have you on. If you're interested in finding out more about William, his group on Facebook is UFO Real, a historical review. That's correct, right? I got that right?
Yes. Yep.
And you can search up William Pullin, P-U-L-L-I-N, and I am sure that you will find him. Thank you very much for being on.
Thanks for having me again. You guys be take care.
All right. Looking forward to having you again.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.